everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. This is the week before Christmas. And I am honored and privileged to have with me a bunch of folks that I just think the world of. We started last week starting with Sheriff Bowler and others moving forward. But I will say this. Today I'm really happy to have someone that I have the greatest admiration for. And we all should, because he's a wonderful person. And in spite of he chose a career in politics, but we'll have to dismiss that. He's the real meal deal. He gets it done for the peeps, and we're part of the peeps. His name is Senator Paul Mark. And Senator, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How are you? Good to see you.
Good seeing you. I hope you're not in Boston.
No, I was yesterday, but not too bad.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Even though yesterday I started off the day at I did office hours with Smitty in Richmond. It was snowing. A couple of people came out. It was nice. They braved the snow.
Well, I will tell you, I was supposed to be in Boston at the hospital at the VA, mm-hmm. and they canceled me before I could cancel them. So there you go.
That's interesting. There you go.
Well, because of the storm.
Yeah.
So anyhow, long story short, listen, the legislative year has come to an end.
Indeed. Kind of.
Well, yeah, kind of. And I think for the people of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, it's been a pretty good year.
Yeah, I think it's been a slow year, and it's been a year where we came out of COVID for real. We came out of the pandemic for real, and things are they're back to normal. I think as normal as they're going to get anyway.
Yeah. whatever normal is now.
Yeah, exactly. So that's been kind of a relief, and I say the biggest thing I'm watching, and I know you ask me this from time to time,
yeah,
is right now is the budget, is the revenue picture. And so far things have been good, and things seem to be slowing a little. And what gets a little worrying is when you can't point to something specific, like there wasn't a layoff. There wasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Something didn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I watch it. I try to watch the business news in the morning, mm-hmm. Rather than the gobbledygook shows. And I can't get a read.
Yeah.
You can go to CNBC, to Fox Business, and yeah, you're right. There's nothing tangible. Here it is.
Yeah, it's like a general feeling of uncertainty, and that doesn't lend itself to successful revenue, successful business markets. It's what do they say? Like Wall Street hates uncertainty, and I think there's a lot of uncertainty right now. I feel personally like I don't feel worried, but I feel unsettled. And again, I feel pretty good about where we are in Massachusetts, but Massachusetts doesn't exist in a vacuum, and so there's a lot of stuff happening around the world. And
would tell you, yes, there is, and I'm all I would say is that the world is so unsettled that it's crying out for leadership. I don't want to take your time, but what personally bothers me is the demonstration of Americans against a religious group of people. I'm old enough to remember being protested against as a Vietnam veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing compared to what some folks are going through today.
That's amazing to hear that, perspective. I hadn't even realized that. So that's really important that you said that.
Well, I try to relate things to how I would feel.
Yeah.
This was really easy. I mean, I will share this. There was a situation, and I'm not going to mention your friend Smitty Pignatelli's district, but there was a thing in Smitty Pignatelli's district many years ago before he was, I think he was still an electrician then, or in high school, one of the two. Mm-hmm. And there was a dance, and we showed up, and the Polish princess and I, and was a person said to me, "Are you in the service?" I said, "Yeah, I'm on leave from Vietnam." And they said, "Oh, you know, we really like to ask you to leave."
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I said, "Is there a reason?" She said, "The war in Vietnam, we don't believe in it."
Yeah. It's not like you requested it happen. It's like, wow. Yeah. To not be able to differentiate that is
a little crazy. Aren't we seeing it today, right over again? Yeah. Hey, listen, I don't want to believe
that. I said, let's get on positive news.
Well, no, it is the holiday season.
Yeah.
I think you guys have had this is just me. I don't know. I'm not in the legislature. Mm-hmm. But from what I keep track of you guys, I have to, because all of you need to be kept track on. I think you had a pretty good year for the people.
Yeah, no, I think we did. I think, again, everything gets clouded by moments of uncertainty. And so things that I wish others wish would move full steam ahead, sometimes move at maybe half speed, and people get frustrated, but I'll just think of, like, out loud, rural school aid. Rural school aid is an important program.
Oh yeah,
yeah. For 80% of the children, students, parents, residents of the district I have, and mostly rural. You know, Pittsfield doesn't qualify, but most of the communities do. And there was a study that said, ideally, we would be funding that at like 50 to 60 million. And so you go back, and my predecessor, Adam Hines, revived this concept that had been dormant for a very long time. And 5 years ago, it was at zero because it didn't exist. And last year's budget, it was at 5.5. And so you come to this year, and we triple it. We get it up to 15 million. Wow. Right, exactly. And while that's not 60, we still have to get to 60.
Right.
When we budget, we have to think about what's the implications for the next couple of years. And so that's where kind of the caution comes, that imagine we made it 50 million this year, and then we cut it back to 20 million. That what does that do? What does that layoffs happen? I mean, you don't want that. So we're easing it up. We're being cautious, but also moving forward. And I had a good meeting with the mayor-elect, Mayor-elect Marchetti and the outgoing mayor Tyre. And they were talking about the budget. You know, what's the budget look like? And I said, there's a cautious moment right now, but I wouldn't expect at the city level, unless something horrible happens that we're not expecting, that there's not going to be like a mid-year cut to the city budget. And they both gave like a sigh of relief. And, you know, you think about that. You think about the impact that can have on city services. And that's where... Yeah, I think we've been doing the right thing. I think we've been getting money out to the people. We've been reinvesting your money in your communities, as it were. And there's a little bit of caution, though, just because, you know, you never know what's around the corner.
And I think there are some people who still are on the city council who just I don't think they comprehend what you just said. Okay, let's take the reserve fund. We'll cut your taxes this year. Oh, whoa, we'll cut your water rates. Or, okay, that's not sustainable. So next year, it'll be double what it was this year. They miss that concept. The other concept is, okay, cut the budget, cut the budget, cut the budget, cut the budget. Yeah. Okay, where do you want to cut?
Right. Well, something that hits someone else.
cut the budget. All right. So cut the fire department. Okay. So your fire insurance goes up.
Right.
Cut the police department. Not a problem. Your homeowners goes up. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I think I really think people should take, and I correct me if I'm wrong, you guys put civics back into the curriculum.
We did. Yep.
Thank God.
Yep.
Because we have two generations to walk around, have no clue of how government works.
Oh my God. You made me think of something that is actually kind of awesome. So yeah, civics, we got that back as a part of the curriculum.
Excellent.
And making sure that people know how government works, how do you get involved, how do you have an impact, you know, makes it less frustrating. Because when you don't know, it's like, well, I asked this one and they weren't able to do anything. It's like, well, they're the mayor of a city. How can they fix Washington? So I got to teach a class called U.S. Government at BCC this semester.
Yeah.
And the class just ended. And there were two moments like I really want to mention. One of the projects I make the students do when I have one of these classes, and I don't explain it to them, and so I know they get confused and frustrated, but by the end, I think it makes a light click. I make them come up with ideas, and then by the end of the class, they've narrowed down the idea to one or two, and then I actually file it in the legislature. And so the mother of one of the students wrote to me and said to my state house email, and said, you know, my son isn't usually a great student and has some trouble and blah blah blah. And he came in and he was so excited about the idea he had, is going to the governor and this, that. And I haven't written back because I'm like, wow, that's what I love, you know, when I get that chance. But it's what you said. Now that's young man now has like an idea of how government can work, and maybe something that you want actually happens, instead of just people just thinking, government doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Or down the road, maybe that young man will put his hat in the ring.
Exactly. Exactly. Someday, you know, me, I was inspired by a different politician, and that's, so it's Dukakis, which I think I'm like one of five people on earth. But
well, you know, I will say this, and I do mean this. While Governor Dukakis was left of center, he wasn't at the fringe.
Yeah.
And I don't think the press was as good to him as they are to some people today. And that's just my opinion. I did not have an axe to grind with Governor Dukakis.
Yeah.
And whoever made him get in that tank and put that hat on, they should have been quiet.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was the wrong way to try to get votes, because it wasn't him. What I like about you, and I'll say this publicly, is you are what you are, whether you're with me on the radio or you're with Joe Blow at the tag stand.
Yep. Yep.
And you're real. You're honest. You're sincere.
Yep.
You're transparent. Although I hate that word now, transparent. Oh, he's so transparent. He's not transparent. Yeah, he's transparent like lead. But no, sir, not you, but I'm saying, you know, I stopped using that word. But I think what we need is sincerity and authenticity from politicians.
Well, yeah, and that's you're exactly right. In you put him in the tank to make people feel reassured about defense or whatever it was in 1988, and it did the opposite because he didn't look in his element. And so, people can actually see through most malarkey, as they say.
It's me saying the Irish mother used to tell me when I was trying to explain my report card.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, the rural school, what you've done, and I don't think people, I don't think you get the press coverage that you're entitled to and that you should get for some of the monumental things you have pushed through for rural schools, rural transportation. You've done a lot with that, Paul.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. And you made me think, just a couple of weeks ago, we had the Joint Committee on Telecommunications, Utilities, and Energy did a hearing at the Berkshire Innovation Center. And it takes a while.
They said that Paul Mark said not to invite you. I said thanks because I had a nap to take.
We had the committee there. We had the Secretary of Energy. We had Commissioner of Department of Public Utilities, and you know they took hard questions in front of an audience in the Berkshires for hours, and it got attention. The press came, but you'd like it to be a bigger deal, I guess, ahead of time. Maybe would be nice, because I don't remember seeing a lot of these hearings happen out our way, and so when they do, it's nice when you get that. I do it for a reason. I do it so people can take part and can witness and can understand this is what is happening in Boston that maybe you're missing out on. So here it is. Here it is right in front of you. But if people don't know about it, then that's a little tougher, you know?
Well, that's one of the reasons I do this show.
Yeah.
I invite you guys out because I want the people to hear from you all that are doing it.
Yep.
Your rationale and you know, it's easy to be critical of people when you don't fully understand all their motives.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. When
I'll give you an example. There are people who are highly incensed that Massachusetts is giving the, whatever the term now is, licenses. I don't buy in 100% because with that license, that's a government ID. So, governmentally issued ID. But I also buy into the rationale. They're going to be driving anyhow, you know? So,
well, that was what the chief said to me, the Pittsfield chief. He told me what he liked about it was, anytime one of the officers is at a traffic stop, anything that makes that stop less tense is going to be better for everyone. And that's where he thought it was a safety issue. It's here's an identification. Here's who's driving. They can go to work or whatever they're doing, and they don't feel the need. I have to take off. I see the blue lights behind me. I have to take off.
Exactly.
You know, because I got a thing. And then if they take off, if someone takes off, what happens? Do they run in? There's a car crash. Anything happens, and you don't want that. So,
lot of lives become endangered.
Yeah, exactly. It's just things that make sense. And just for that one issue, it's like 19 other states did it. I think Texas did. Yeah. It. Places do it, and you know, I don't see the. I don't see the harm, and it won pretty big on that ballot question that tried to repeal it. So that's good.
Oh yeah. So I guess my next is the state going to be reaching out to help the cities like Boston and that are taking in the immigrants.
Yeah, the families are going everywhere. The Massachusetts is the only state in the country that by law we have what they call the right to shelter. And so if you're a family or a kid and you show up, we have to find you a place for the night. Yep. And while I think most other states do that, they don't have it as a law by right. And it's been on the books for, I think, 40 years.
Right.
And there's been times over the last 10 years and the times I was in the House and I had the city of Greenfield in my house district, and there would be homeless people would end up in the hotels because the shelters would start hitting capacity, and there'd be a big uproar for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and then it would die down as people are found permanent placements, that kind of thing. And so right now, what I never heard, that happened at least twice, and once in Greenfield, there was even a moment where, because of the town bylaws, they started camping on the town common, and that did not go over well. I see on your face. That did not go over well. And at a time it was ended. But what I never heard in either of those situations, and this is probably the third flare up I think I've seen in the last decade. The governor said, we're hitting the shelter capacity limit.
Yeah.
So that's first. And that's worrying. Yeah, because then it's worrying in the direction of, I don't want kids sleeping out on the streets. Yeah. It's worrying in when the emergency ends, how do people find a better life and get real housing and real jobs and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then from a legislative point of view, as someone that's involved in the budget, so we just approved $250 million for this. Like, what if it comes to be $1 billion or more? Right. Like, yeah. Right. So like, how do we balance that out? And we have all been turning to Congress, to Washington, to say, the states, we can't make immigration law. That's not, not allowed to. So this is the situation you've set up. What are you going to do to help? And hopefully something is going to happen in the next couple of months, because it has the potential to become a crisis.
Yes. I think in some venues it are probably, it was safe to say, it already is a crisis.
Yeah. New York City seems to be having a problem.
Unbelievable. I don't know the answer, to it. Oh, well, I think I do know the answer is we got to stop the flow. But they have yesterday at 2,500 come across. I mean, 2,500 people. That's
come
more
across in the Massachusetts or into the United States?
Into the United States. I'm okay. Sorry.
All right.
Yeah, but in the 2,500. So that's more people than live in many of the towns in your district.
That is true.
No, and I'm not being facetious.
No, it's true.
You have to put reality to the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, but the point I think is, as we look at these things, you were reaching out to Washington, our government, state government, and others, but. In case, and you might have noticed, maybe not, the Washington government doesn't function quite as logically and effectively as our state government.
That is true.
And I hope that's not an oversight.
No, I think you're spot on there.
I think I've said it before. We have Republicans, we have Democrats. Yes, the Democrats have a minority. The Democrats have a minority in the Senate. But in the U.S. Senate.
Yep.
But for some reason, our legislature seems to get things done efficiently. And I caveat that for government.
Yeah. No, I get what I respect what you just said. We're limited in terms of budgeting. Yep. We have to balance our budget, so that is always important to make sure that we're heading in that direction. And then I think a problem with Congress is the districts are too big. I mean, you're in the House here, yeah, you got 42,000 people, I got 170,000. It's a lot, but boy, in Congress I think they're at 760, and there was a state that was hitting 1 million. I think it's been resolved. I think Montana got a second district, which was helpful. But that isn't what the intention was. The intention, if you read the Constitution text, it was 30,000. And the original, people don't know this, the Bill of Rights was actually 12 amendments, and only 10 of them got adopted. And the original First Amendment was to put in a ratio that would guarantee a proportionality of members of the U.S. House of Representatives, so that it would never get to what it is today, that you have 760,000 people, which is impossible to navigate. I mean, it's hard enough at my level. So, yeah, I imagine things might be a little different if members of Congress still represented, say, 100,000 people.
Oh, I do too, because then you bump into them in the pack.
Well, that's exactly right. Exactly. You're still in the neighborhood. You're still around. People see you. You see you at the restaurants. It's a big difference. And that's like the more direct your official, the more direct connection, the better I think the results often are. Right. So Yeah, I think that makes a big difference. And the U.S. Senate was by design the whole state. So if a right. state has 50 million people, it has 50 million people. That's that job. That's different. Right. But the House is not supposed to be like that. The House is supposed to be very responsive to the people. And I think the House would look different if the districts were better apportioned. That was what my redistricting work told me. Seriously, is that yeah. these are way too large, and that up till 1920 they used to increase how many members of the House there were, and they just stopped one day.
Yep. And now look what they did. They collapsed. You know, they said, "Well, you lost people, so you lose your district."
Yep.
Well, really, fortunately, I mean, I have to say this too. Fortunately, we have a congressperson,
sure,
who comes home on the weekends, never has forgotten where he came from or who put him in Congress.
Right.
And I think my experience there, some of them don't grasp that.
Right.
When they get there, they get. But I had an old man tell me to be careful. Of course, he was probably younger than I am today, and I call him an old man. But he said, "Be careful, you don't get Potomac fever."
Yeah. Yep.
And he said, "There's a lot of that going around." And he said, "That's where the only thing you focus on is D.C."
Yep.
In a whole other world. And that's what I admire about you, Senator, is that you're a senator, but you haven't forgot where you came from, mm-hmm. but also that you understand there's a world outside of Boston.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, and I think you know this, I'm not saying anything's earth-shattering. There are people there that live, or I got cousins there. They, you know, they come to the Berkshires. They pack like they're going to go to Alaska. Yeah, people, hey, I better put extra blankets in the car. How about water?
People ask me that every time I'm in session. They say, "Oh, are you going home tonight?" It's like, yeah, because that's where my house is. What do you think I'm going to do? Are you going home tonight? Well, so far, it's like, yeah, well, that's where I live. What do you want?
Yeah. And the other reason is I can't afford the $450 a night room plus the $50 a night parking.
Yep, exactly. Exactly right.
I just had Sheriff Bowler on, and I will tell you, I don't know if you are aware, what they've done with that Toys for Tots.
Mm-hmm.
Berkshire County is, it's amazing.
Yep.
They have so many, there'll be so many happy kiddos this Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. I was up at the sheriff's office a couple of days ago, and he was giving me a nice update. They seem to be doing all the good stuff, and he gave me a Christmas tree ornament, which I appreciated. It's nice.
No, those were handcuffs.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, that's actually funny. I walked, at Lee Elementary School, they do a thing. They call it the walking school bus, and the kids gather and walk to school together.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's very cute, and I went up. It's up a hill, and one of the police officers was like, "You want to ride back?" And I'm like, only if it's in the front. I'm not getting in the back seat.
But, you know, but again, it's that personal touch. And like when you said, when you have hundreds of thousands of people you have to answer to, you're not going to have that.
Right. No.
Have a big district and you have a hard time, but I will hats off to you. You work your butt off to maintain that personal touch.
I do. It's like this month I did Sheffield and Richmond, and then we have the roving office hours. And and I said, please, Smitty shares both those towns. He came to both of them. The reps have come with me to every one of these stops, and I think it's going well. You get to meet people, and I had Richmond way back, so it was nice to reconnect. But I never had Sheffield, so Sheffield was nice to really get to know some people down there.
We're gonna take a break. I'm here with Senator Paul Mark, and most of you know how much I admire the senator. because he's never lost track of why he's there to support us and what we want and what we believe. And in today's, what do I want to say, political atmosphere, that's not always the case with some folks. Is that kind, Senator?
That works.
We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're also simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from MyCom Federal Credit Union, 101 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, where their mission is to continue to promote the principle of people helping people while providing services that meet the diverse and ever-changing needs of their membership. MyCom Federal Credit Union, online at mycomcu.org. And do you need help heating your home? Berkshire Community Action Council may be able to help. The Fuel Assistance Program is accepting new applications beginning November 1st. This program assists with your primary heating source, including all heating types.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBRFM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I am here with Senator Paul Mark. We're here to, this is the beginning of Christmas week, Monday of Christmas week. Excuse me. And I wanted Senator Mark and some others on this week because of their dedication to us. Christmas is about charity, it's about giving, it's about forgiving. Hanukkah is about light. Christmas is about light. And I will say this, boy, does the world need light. Because right now we're in a terrible, terrible way to go on. But this is Christmas week. We're going to be bright. We're going to be happy. We're going to be looking forward to the future and the brightness of the future. And Senator Mark, from when he was in the House of Representatives, has been loyal to this program. Mm-hmm. And now he's in the Senate. He's still loyal. But more importantly, he's loyal to all of us, his constituents. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a problem saying that. Now, you may not agree with every one of his votes. I probably don't. But that's not the point. He makes his decisions on the information that we may not be privy to. So is that fair to say, Senator?
It is. It's a good way of saying it. And then that is, we were talking about this earlier. It's a reason why I like to come on the show, or if the press calls me to talk to them, right, or whoever it might be, because there's things I think going into a lot of stuff, and then I learn a lot more, and then I hear from a lot of people, and then it kind of changes, you know, often. It never changes, like, your principles, but it changes your thought on like a specific issue.
Exactly.
Something you thought that doesn't sound right. And then you hear more, it's like, okay. And yeah, that's a big part of, I think, our job, not just learning and making a vote, but then taking the time to explain it. And yeah, it's to your point with the press, like the more the press covers things, I think the better off everyone is, because the more likely people are going to understand what actually happened.
If one more time, if they cover the whole story.
Yeah, the whole story, exactly.
I take a high compliment was given to this program by Congressman Neal. Mm-hmm. He said, I like to come on because we have a conversation.
Right.
And during the conversation, I can elaborate on things. We're in an interview of, you know, a 60-second interview that gets chopped down to 15.
Yeah.
What I might have said got chopped out.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he gets TV way more than I do. I very rarely get a TV interview. But yeah, you're right. You stand there and you talk to someone for 5 minutes and it turns into, yes, green is the best. And it's like, okay, there's no context. There's no, you know, it's just, it's that. You get that sound bite, as they call it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. And then it fits whatever the story is they're trying to tell. And it's like, mm.
Yeah, and I really do think, I mean, I made a point about 3 months ago of jumping from MSNBC to Fox to Newsmax to NBC to CBS to ABC. And you can really see I perceived to myself the bias, I guess is the right term.
Yeah, you know? I think most have a bias now direction, you know.
I grew up with Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
Yep.
They reported the news.
Yep. Cronkite, Walter Cronkite, was he one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Walter, if I had to just, no one should do this, but depending on my memory, I would say Walter Cronkite was one of the first ones to start opinionating.
Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting to hear.
That's just as I remember.
Yeah.
About the war in Vietnam. Yeah. But as the year unfolds, 2024, what do you see as the pluses and the minuses?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of exciting things that we've actually been waiting on a long time. And it's been a slower moving year, and new governor, she's coming from being attorney general. She wasn't in the legislature. She didn't budget $56 billion before. So I actually appreciate that she's moving deliberatively and taking the time.
I kind of like her, to be honest.
Yeah, she takes the time to get things right. She's not all
cogent argument for what she does.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to debate her. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to, we have a housing bond bill coming up. We have an economic development bill coming up, probably transportation, and the budget process is going to start already. So a lot of good opportunities to get some money back into the hands of people that need it, and they're going to do good things for the area. And I had the chance, I brought in a group from the Berkshires to the State House. By the time people are watching this, probably 2 weeks ago. And yeah, had good, great meetings with Chair of Housing, Chair of Economic Development, you know, just they keep the people come to the Chair of Small Business. They come into the meeting and say, so what's different in the Berkshires? And you know, they're usually surprised that, oh, there actually are things that are different.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. To hear about that. So yeah, as we move into the next year, I'm hoping for a lot of action through August, and hopefully a lot of good things to report over the coming months as we move through these bills.
And I think, don't you think too, that let's hope it doesn't come back. I am reading there's an increase in COVID, but I think if we can just normalize things for 3 or 4 years, we'll get back on track.
Yeah, that sounds right.
You know, I don't think it's going to be, it will not be overnight.
No, it's not overnight. And, you know, it can be, even the flu is seasonal. It can be seasonal. And someone said to me, you know, if it's raining out, then you take an umbrella with you. So if it's a moment that things are a little higher sensitivity, then if it's appropriate for you, then take the precautions you need to take, you know, that's pretty clear. I got that shot a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear cut. And, you know, interestingly enough, as I said, I had, I go to the VA and the VA doctor said to me, you know, if you're going because of RSV, flu, COVID, whatever else, dengue fever, whatever, if you're going to, because of my lung condition, if you're going to be in a crowd, just for your own protection, wear a mask.
Right.
Yeah, you know?
I'm hearing about RSV.
Yeah. I had the RSV shot.
Yeah.
And, all the stuff that they say, the side effects, they all come true. So,
huh. Well.
But as the opposite is, do you want to have a little discomfort or do you want to die?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Right. I'll go with the discomfort. You know, but
that should be an easy choice, you would think.
Yeah, one would think, you know. Then, you know, my theory is one shot in the arm, one shot down a gillet. But what do you feel that Joe and Mary's six pack of, that I include myself in that, what can we do to be better citizens?
Be involved, but be involved in a way that shows willingness to both participate and listen. I think that's important. And so like not to beat a dead horse, but the reason like I do those hours is to take the mystery out of it. If you come and you meet me and I appreciate you say these things and I think they are actually true. When you meet me, I think you're going to find that I'm a regular guy. You know, can talk about a lot of subjects and I like to listen. And then I like to take what I heard and bring it to where it matters. And so I always, when people ask me sometimes, what's the most effective way to advocate to your legislator? It's like, yeah, it's not mail or email or any of that. It's like, they all add up. A call adds up, email adds up, mailing adds up, everything adds up. But nothing is more valuable than getting to know me and getting for me to know that you have an expertise in something and just building a relationship and a trust and a respect. I mean, that's what it's all about. If I don't know about, I don't know a lot about farming personally. And so I know people that work on farms that I have a question, I go to them now. You know, I wasn't born knowing them. I met them over time and they made an effort to seek us out and that kind of thing.
And I have to tell you, this big push about doing away with agriculture and cows and, you know, they better, I'm not going to eat crickets. I've been through survival schools.
I shouldn't laugh because watch it be like the next big job in the Berkshires. When we were talking about economic development, the chair says to the group, how about, GE, all that property, plant-based meat.
It's like, yeah, that went over well, I bet.
But then it's like, oh, are they looking for place? And I don't even know what they mean, so I don't want to get into it. But I think he was talking about like artificially growing meat, and like, what is that going to be like? Is that going to be a thing? Is that going to?
Well, you got. I don't want to mention names, but you've got. You've got people running around the world saying the cow flagellants is causing global warming. But I don't have the heart to tell them cows have been flagellating since the beginning of time.
Indeed.
I really think I get nervous, Paul. I'll be very candid with you. I get nervous when I hear people talking about doing away with farming or selling our farmlands to the Chinese. All these kinds of things. I just go to my old background. I work counterterrorism, I work criminal justice, and I'm sorry, but you bring everything through that filter, you know? And it just doesn't make sense to me. And that's why I'm glad to hear Massachusetts is not really all that concerned about cow flatulence. Now, you want to talk about tying up the United States Congress. There you go. Talk about flatulence. Yeah.
If it leads to jobs, though, it's like, oh, that's interesting. So that's why it's like, we're laughing about it. But imagine someone's watching this 20 years. It's like, well, yeah, my parents have worked at that factory for the last 10 years.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Those two guys didn't know what they were talking about. Neither one of us will care. Oh, you will. But I think we have to, and when I hear this, we'll go by the science. Well, whose science?
Yeah.
I mean, you're a very bright guy for the audience to know. Paul is also a lawyer by has a law degree and lawyer, and he's also has a PhD. So he's wonderful to have a conversation with because he can think of a level above third grade.
And bill you for it at the same time.
And bill you for it at the same time. That's right. But I think people need to pull back a little. There's an excellent commercial on television. I wish I could think of who it was. But they said everybody's in favor of going for renewable energy.
Yeah.
What people aren't in favor of, it's not that easy. We've got to come up with solid solutions, and it's not going to be overnight. Right. You know, when I'm hearing now, I just heard on the way home, Ford's backing out of the electric car business.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Well, here's a really weird thing. If people aren't buying them, they're not going to make
them. That's true. If that's what's happening.
Well, that's what this report said.
Interesting.
Scaling back, not getting out, but scaling back their electric car business because it's just not selling.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm not in line for a Tesla simply because I tried to get the Polish to Princess to get a night job at King Cone so we could have the money save up and in 15, 20 years buy a Tesla.
Yeah, and for me, it wouldn't work yet because of...
There's no okay. You'd have the longest extension cord in the world.
I was going to say, A, I can't afford it either, and B, there's not enough charging infrastructure in our region yet to justify it. I've been looking in the last... I did 1,000 miles a week every week for 3 weeks now, which is actually really normal, but I've just been paying attention to it for whatever reason. And... It's a lot of driving. Yeah.
Well, and again, I had an example. I'm coming back on the turn, but this is in the summertime from the Cape, coming back on the turnpike, right? And the traffic is backed up beyond Marlboro through Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have an electric car whose mileage is 300 miles, I don't know what the time on that is, but it doesn't make any difference. If you're just sitting there, you're not going anywhere. Yes. You better have an extension cord. But those are the kinds of things that I would rather see debated, and this is unfair, but this is my thoughts, my opinion only. I'd rather see those things debated in our legislature than right now in the fields of halls of Congress. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think many people would think that if they paid attention, and you maybe, yeah.
Look at what you guys have accomplished this year.
I was going to say, you made me think of the Green Bank happened too. That was my number one piece of legislation, and it happened in May. And I think in January we're going to have a session explaining, explaining like what it's actually going to look like and how it's getting up and running. So.
You know, there's some things on YouTube and YouTube. I have no tubes. saying that people in Massachusetts can get free solar. You know anything about that?
I've seen these things too. It's there's grants and there's tax credits and then there's money you can get back on your meter when you have solar. The way it works is. It makes your meter run backwards, for lack of a better way of explaining it. They call it net metering. So if you take in 2 kilowatts from the electric company and you produce 3, then the company owes you a credit of 1. Does that make sense?
Sure. Your meter,
can like kind of run backwards. So like there's ways. But I would say to anyone looking at anything that tells you to get something for free, there is always a catch. Yeah.
Yeah. And I watch it and I'm thinking to myself, now you're shooting for a certain group of people and they're seniors.
Yep.
And I just saw where the government's after some person for just doing that, but they just targeted seniors and went after them and it was malarkey, you know, but they got a lot of money from
it. I don't know what it is. Like the last 2 months, I've been getting nonstop calls. And, you know, me having the experience and the job I have and all that.
Right.
I know not to answer this stuff and to hang up. And I can see people, because sometimes they talk pretty smooth. And it's like, I can definitely see people want to learn more. And boy, is that troubling to have people just.
And there are people, Mike, God rest their soul, they passed away, my cousin and her husband. They got taken at least once a month.
Oh, God.
And I would tell them, don't answer the phone.
Yeah.
But it's a local number. Don't
answer. Yeah. And that's what I've been noticing is like a call from Otis, a call from Huntington. It's like,
that's what we're getting, coming.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't even know they had phones in Cummings.
Yeah. I the wrong person, right?
I kid, but I'm just saying that's something I think the federal government needs to look at, but also the state government needs to look at. You can't be saying the Commonwealth of Massachusetts has a program.
Oh, yeah. 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 No, that's true. It's I'm thinking about like these phone numbers. They're not actually in Otis. They're calling from who knows where in the world.
And yeah.
They either bought one number or they clone it or something.
Yeah, clone it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, and I can't explain, it's called pineappling.
Mm.
And I was a victim of it.
Huh.
They called my bank and it was my bank, and they said, well, we're going to transfer the call. And they transfer the call to the shysters.
Oh, my God.
Now, because the bank answered the phone, went through the whole rigmarole. You know, press one if you want to.
Yep.
Well, and then all of a sudden, I'm talking to what gave it away was I'm talking for the third time to the third guy whose name was Sam.
Yeah. Now,
I'm an old man, past middle 70s. I've never met three different Sams in the same day. Right. Who, by the way, all spoke with a foreign accent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a popular name in whatever country they're from.
Say, wait till the AI. It's going to be, you're going to think it's me calling because it's going to be my voice and it's not going to be me.
You know, another one that's driving, and I've heard this from, I can't tell you how many people. Medicare, all these people, and they want all your information.
Yeah.
And they're going to do you a better deal. Well, I tell people what there was a lady, I forget her name. She worked for the AG's Consumer Protection. She was a nice lady. She said, if you don't recognize the number, don't answer it.
Right.
If it's important, they'll leave a message.
Yep, exactly.
And make sure you know who the message is from before you call the number back.
Yep, exactly.
So, but those... You know, those are nuts and boltsy kinds of things. They're not glamorous, but boy, they help the people if you guys can get on top of them.
Yep, absolutely.
So what, we got about 8 minutes left. What are you doing for Christmas? More to the question, what time's Christmas dinner?
Yeah, I was going to say, we do the fish. So there'll be the fish on Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
And then, I don't know, the dinner, we'll see, because nephew is 3 and a half, he'll be 4 in March, so I think this might be the first Christmas where he really is going to be excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I think he's going to know what's going on and still be young enough to believe in all the fun stuff. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, that should be nice to see.
And go ahead.
I was going to say, I give him like something fun and then I put money in his college thing. So here's some socks.
Uncle Paul, you shouldn't have. Wait a minute. You had these socks on yesterday. We have a new grandbaby. He's about 15 months, so he'll just be... According to my son, he just sits and watches the lights on the tree. but, this is a time of healing and forgiving and charity and light. And, you know, I think you brought all of those to this Commonwealth in your many years of public service.
Well, I hope so. And I appreciate it. And that's what we do it for, because there's days you wonder. And then, you know, there's days you get really nice messages or someone thanks you. And
yeah.
My staff is pretty good at sending along like emails that are thanking me for something. That's helpful. That feels good.
You've got the next 2 minutes for your Christmas holiday wishes.
Oh, well, as always, thank you to the people of the 32 towns of the Berkshires and the 25 towns in Franklin, Hampshire, and Hampden counties for the opportunity to serve as your voice in the Senate. It's an opportunity I really treasure and I really appreciate and work hard to earn every single day. And it's a lot of work. And I'm happy to do that for everybody. And I say it's a partnership. And so I appreciate being partners with the people at home. It's really important. And in the new year, we'll be continuing the office hours. We're 773 Tyler Street in Pittsfield is our fixed office. We do two times a month. Every month, North Adams, Dalton, Great Barrington, Williamsburg, Southwick, and Buckland. And then the roving hours, they move around, but you can find them if you either check out, I think my email is senatorpaulmark.com, and website, that's the website. The phone number, district phone number is 413-464-5635, and my email is paul.mark@masenate.gov, and after that, you know, Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year, solstice, whatever it is you celebrate, however you celebrate, enjoy the time with your family and treasure it, because, you know, it's a special time and you never know what happens tomorrow.
I will leave you with this. We had a platoon sergeant in Vietnam, and we got a guy and he said, you know, a new guy came in, and one of the guys said, you know, live each day for the best. And the sergeant looked at him and said, live each day for the next step, because you don't know what the one after will be. Yep. So I live my life like that. I want to thank you for all you've done for all of us, and wish you and your mom and everybody, your entire family and friends, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I look forward to interviewing you next year and all the good things you'll be doing. So,
amen.
I will bid you Merry Christmas, my good friend. And also to all of my listeners and viewers, Merry Christmas. God bless. And remember, this week especially, some people, this is a tough road for some people, a tough season. If you know somebody like that, give them a call, stop by and visit, have a coffee. God bless. Paul, be well. Say hi to mom.
So I see you in the new year.
God willing. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Thank you.
Bye.